I explained about the atomic bombs and the pusher plate. She accepted this much more readily than any of us had. The ship that Leo had shown us in the book had been a stack. Pusher plate, shocks, crew quarters. This one was an envelope. The outer shell was one large distributed shock absorber, as well as a shield. And I was beginning to realize, a shroud. A veil to hide whatever was suspended in the middle. Once we'd identified the pusher plate, the stern of the ship, our eyes were naturally drawn to the face on the opposite or forward end, its prow. This was hidden from view, but one of the adjoining shock absorbers was visible, and something was written on it. Printed there neatly was a line of glyphs that had to be an inscription in some language. Some of the glyphs, like circles and simple combinations of strokes, could easily be mistaken for characters in our Bayesian alphabet, but others belonged to no alphabet that I had ever seen. And yet they were so close to our letters that this alphabet seemed almost like a sib of ours. Some of them were Bayesian letters turned upside down or reflected in a mirror. I flung the blanket off. "Hey!" Cort complained, and closed her eyes. Fra Jad turned around and looked me in the face. He seemed ever so slightly amused. "These people," I did not call them aliens, "are related to us."
"We have started referring to them as the cousins," announced Fra Kriskin, the hunter sitting next to Fra Jad.
"What could possibly explain that?" I demanded, as if they could possibly know such a thing.
"These others have been speculating about it," Fra Jad said, "wasting their time, as it is just a hypothesis."
"How big is this thing? Has anyone tried to estimate its dimensions?" I asked.
"I know that from the settings of the telescope and the tablet," Saman said. "It is about 3 miles in diameter."
"Let me spare you having to work it out in your head," said Fra Kriskin, watching my face, mildly amused. "If you want to generate pseudo-gravity by spinning part of the ship..."
"Like those old donut-shaped space stations in Specfix Beelies?" I asked. Kriskin looked blank.
"I've never seen a Speely, but yes, I think we are talking about the same thing."
"Sorry."
"It's okay. If you are playing that game and you want to generate the same level of gravity we have here on Arb, and if there is such a thing hidden inside of this icosahedron..."
"Which is kind of what I was imagining," I allowed.
"Say it's 2 miles across. The radius is 1 mile. It would have to spin about once every 80 seconds to provide Arb gravity."
"Seems reasonable. Doable," I said.
"What are you talking about?" Cord asked.
"Could you live on a merry-go-round that spun once every minute and a half?"
She shrugged.
"Sure."
"Are you talking about where the cousins came from?"
shouted Rosk over his shoulder. He couldn't understand Orth, but he could pick out some words, and he could read our tones of voice.
"We're debating whether it is productive to have any such discussion at all," I said.
But that was a little too complicated, shouted from the back of the fetch over road noise.
"In books and spielies, sometimes you see a fictional universe where an ancient race seeded a bunch of different star systems with colonies that lost touch with each other afterwards,"
Rosk volunteered.
The other avowed in the vehicle looked as if they were biting their tongues.
"The problem is, Rosk, we have a fossil record
that goes back billions of years. Yeah, that is a problem with that idea,"
Rosk admitted.
From which I guessed that others had already torn this idea limb from limb before his eyes, but Rosk liked it too much to let go of it. He'd never been taught Dyax's rake. Cord had put the blanket back over her head, but she said,
"Another idea that we were talking about earlier was, you know, the whole concept of parallel universes. Then Fra Jad pointed out that this ship is quite clearly in this universe."
"Oh, what a killjoy," I remarked. In Fluckish, obviously.
"Yeah," she said.
"It is a real drag hanging around with you people. So logical. Speaking of which, did you notice the geometry proof?"
"What?"
"They couldn't stop talking about it earlier." I ducked back under the blanket with her. She knew how to pan and zoom the image. She magnified one of the faces,
then dragged it around until the screen was filled with something that looked like streaked and blurry, overlapping geometrical outlines.
"That's certainly a weird thing to put on your ship," I said.
I zoomed back out for a moment because I wanted to get a sense of where this diagram was located. It was centered on one of the icosahedron's faces, adjoining and just aft of the one that we had identified as the bow. If the ship's envelope was made of gravel, held in some kind of matrix, then this diagram had been built into this face as a sort of mosaic by picking out darker pieces of gravel and setting them carefully into place. They had put a lot of work into it.
"It's their emblem," I said.
Only speculating, but no one spoke out against the idea. I zoomed back in and spent a while examining the network of lines. It was obviously a proof, almost certainly of the Adraconic theorem, the sort of problem that FIDS worked all the time as an exercise. Just as if I were sitting in a chalk hall trying to get the answer quicker than Jesri, I began to break it down into triangles and to look for right angles and other features that I could use to anchor a proof. Any FID from the halls of Orathena probably would have gotten it by now, but my plane geometry was a little rusty,